case I didn't say it before, my name is Kevin. I can't remember, but it's still Kevin. And I'm really glad to be here talking to you about what I think I heard God say to me today and what I want to pass on to you. We're doing a series called Divergent, and it's a series about how God calls us to be different, to be salt and light, to be divergent, and the difference that makes. And we come to another section of the Sermon on the Mount today that is actually, of course, challenging, like all the other sections. And this one actually really hits hard. Let me say this, I think it should hit hard. And it doesn't let any one of us off the line. Looking at the first four verses in chapter 6, and Jesus tackles what we might call the spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices. So I'm going to read this to you now, and I want to let you know that the intention of the Sermon on the Mount was to show what it looks like when people live according to the new ways of the kingdom of heaven. What it looks like to be citizens of God's kingdom and to still keep our feet on the ground. So the disciples are gathered around listening to his sermon. They are the audience. They're the ones he's preaching to. He's preaching to the converted. And it's an important distinction because Jesus' sermons, his words, they're made to hit home with us. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is not for those people out there, it's for us. So today I invite you to approach this text, to listen to it, and realize that these words, this story, it's not about someone else. It's about you and me and us. And listen carefully, because today in the listening and entering in and releasing of his living word, you may be challenged. Matthew 6, verses 1 to 4. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When we help each other, when we help others, when we give, even when we do good things, and we seek or desire or hope for the approval of others, it hurts us. This person who is the object of the story, he's pretty easy to imagine. Big smile. Acting coy, acting pious, but sneaking glances left and right, just looking to make sure. He knows people must be looking. He knows they must be, so he acts like he doesn't want to be seen. He's out there and it's time to give, so he takes his big heavy coins and he drops them into the metal pot, one at a time. Clang! It's like a hammer hitting a stock pot. And each time this happens, he looks around with an apologetic look on his face. Oops, did I do that? So sorry, you caught me again. Yet, he has 10 more coins. And he's acting upset every time the pot clangs because it's like an alert, an alarm. It's like trumpet sounding. Yet he laps it up like a parched man wanting water. Thank you, Lord. Please accept my humble gift, my gift that is for the poor, for the needy, for those who need help, for those people. That's what I'm all about. I love giving to the poor. Yep, God gave me that passion. Well, see you later. Wow, he's identified as, not surprising here, a hypocrite. And it's a word that we are all familiar with, a word that we have all probably heard directed towards the faith community, the church, or maybe we've directed it towards others. The word that we have all used with distaste to describe people who act one way but really are actually another way. And it wasn't originally a negative word. It just meant actor. Someone who played parts in the theater. They were a hypocrite. But here's the thing. It's not that bad in the theater or movies or TV when everyone knows that you're playing a part, putting on a mask intentionally. But the danger is when they do this in everyday life to deceive people, to control what people might think. That original meaning is so bang on here because all of us, to some degree, put on a mask, a persona. And we get on the stage of the world, the stage of public, the stage of life, we act. We do some hypocrisis, acting. So this man, he was so obviously in this story, this play actor, this hypocrite. He played his part in life as if it was on a stage, and he wanted recognition and approval. But really, who is the object of this story? Really, who is the subject? Is it this ridiculous caricature of a man with the band playing every time he puts the envelope in as it's passed around? Is it him? The guy that wants everyone to see that he's got this really fat envelope and he puts it in the thing and kind of looks around when he does it. Is it that guy? I don't think so. Or is he us? Is he all of us? Stated another way, are we, you and I, are we him? All of us to some degree put that mask on and hit the stage of life hoping for accolades and approval because we all to some degree are begging and longing and searching for approval. So giving is just the outward manifestation of this inward need. The need to get approval for things that we do, to be recognized, to be elevated, to control what others think about us, to act, to deceive, to portray. We all have it in us. This section of the Sermon on the Mount talks about three practices that are related and that were the common spiritual practices and disciplines, the practices of piety. And they were very common in the day and they remain common today. The three things that Jesus deals with are giving, praying, and fasting. And he looks at these three things and he tells his disciples that they need to be really, really careful how they do these things because they can be helpful or they can be very harmful, especially when they are done for approval. You know, it's really easy to fake these. I'm always surprised, actually kind of shocked, by how much credibility we continue to give, despite Jesus' warnings, to those who make a display of their spirituality. Oh, wow, did you hear them pray? They're spiritual. I've never seen that plate pass that person by. They're a real giver. Often, as observers, we react to these public displays the opposite way that Jesus tells us to react. We seem really messed up around approval, when to give it, and when it comes from a very human struggle. The need for approval is a universal thing. And I think all of us care about it in some way. I don't think any of us are immune to this. Whether we want to call it need for conformity, social pressure, drive to impress, whatever it is, we do things for approval, don't we? There are many ways we do this. Let's talk about giving first. You ever feel awkward when that plate passes? You see it go by and see there's not much in there, and maybe it's even empty, and you feel pressure to put something in because maybe there's eyes on the road behind you watching, and you imagine people watching you. And this is true. This is true. It happens. So people take an empty envelope and they put it in. Laugh. I've been tempted to do this, right? An empty envelope and put it in. It's kind of scary, but it's true. It happens because you can ask the counters. I don't know how often it happens. I don't have data on that, but they do count empty envelopes. I am more likely to take my coffee black when people are watching because I have to uphold this image of fitness and health. And when they're not watching, go to Tim Hortons and say, can I have a triple-triple? Right? We've got to do image control. And you know, people talk about TV shows and, well, I don't watch shows like this, you know, but I happen to know that The Bachelor is in Vancouver right now. I'm just saying, I don't watch it. It's interesting when you look at online behavior. I remember CBC used to have their news stories and they had dialogues afterwards. And I would read these dialogues and it was incredible how mean people were in these online dialogues. It was horrendous. And it's really interesting because once they said you had to put your full name there, things became a lot more civilized instantly. And then there's people that claim that they don't care what people think about them. But interestingly enough, these people often tenaciously tell people they don't care what people think about them. Right? Because if they really didn't care what people think about them, they wouldn't tell people to think that they don't care about what people think about them. Right? They're controlling their image. Some of us live in bondage to what other people think about us. It's approval addiction. It takes many forms. If we find we often get hurt or bothered by what other people say about us by saying things, we want them to say things in just glowing terms, it's a hint that we crave approval. We habitually compare ourselves to other people. We're craving approval. If we live with a nagging sense that we are not important enough, not special enough, not good enough, we're craving approval. If we find ourselves competitive when we're playing board games, we are looking for approval. Ever played earthquake chess? Earthquake Scrabble? What happens is when you start losing, the board kind of gets messed up. That's a sign that you're craving approval. If we get envious about other people's success, we are probably craving approval. If we like to hang around with really important people and drop names of the important people that we know, we are probably craving approval. And if you fit into any of these categories, you probably are craving approval. And I fit into more than one. I'm not going to tell you how many. There's other categories too. The list is exhaustive. I could go on and on, but you would be exhausted. We, and I want to say all of us, to some degree, are just like that guy, giving and having the trumpet blast every time he drops a coin. So we do it differently. We might not use a trumpet, but we've got bigger, better trumpets nowadays than he did. We've got trumpets called Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Hey guys, just posting to let you know I prayed a lot today. Hey guys, just thought I'd tweet this, get it out there. I helped a bunch of homeless people today. Hey guys, check out my feed. Here's some insights from my Bible study. I read the Bible quite a bit. Da 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 da, there goes the trumpet. We're not so unlike that guy, are we? We have to be really careful how we use that trumpet. Because the problem is when we put it out there like that, when we want people to know, we become captives, we become addicts, and we become slaves to getting affirmation and recognition. And we need it to feel good about ourselves. And Jesus wants us to be free of that. I have to say that church life does give a lot of opportunities for approval addiction. Church life can give really good opportunities for image control. Church life can give really good opportunities for climbing the perceived spiritual ladder. It's easy to let people see you do these things all the time and act like you don't notice them. You pray loud and hard and make sure that people see you. You use the right language and sprinkle in some spiritual spice, and bam, you've done some image control. You're acting, doing exactly the same as this person in the story does. I don't know how you relate to this passage, but personally, I think I might be in some trouble. Because I know what that drug tastes like as a preacher. Because there's this constant fight between wanting recognition and simply being free to speak the words I feel called to speak. So you can hear all these voices. You can hear 10 voices that you crave. That was a great sermon, Kevin. And the one voice that says, not that great. Which one do you think you listen to? You guys know what I'm talking about? It's maybe not just preachers. And sometimes I feel less like a prophet, more like someone at the Oscars waiting for my name to be called. But someone else's name gets called out. It's like they call La La Land, and that's me. And actually the winner is Moonlight. And I'm disappointed. It's an addiction that we need to be free from, and it hurts us. It hurts us really bad. You might ask how. What's so bad about this? What does it hurt if people see? What does it matter if I crave approval? It's about whose we are. Are we his or are we theirs? Do we get filled and transformed by the approval of the Father, or do we get filled and transformed by the world? I love the way Henry Nouwen puts it. He's a writer on the spiritual disciplines. To whom do I belong? To God or to the world? Many of my daily preoccupations suggested I belong more to the world than to God. A little criticism makes me angry, and a little rejection makes me depressed. A little praise raises my spirits, and a little success excites me. Often I am like a small boat on the ocean, completely at mercy of the waves. Remember that whole salt and light thing? God's people, his disciples, his church are not primarily citizens of this world. We are residents here. But we are citizens of God's kingdom. So we live a different set of standards so that we might be salt and light. We are resident aliens. When we have an approval addiction, it displays what matters to us. It shows where our loyalties are. It shows where our true citizenship is. The people of his kingdom are not approval addicts because their approval does not come from this world. An approval addiction, it hurts us. And God's kingdom, it hurts God's kingdom, it hurts each of us. Because it takes the things that are supposed to be about the other, supposed to be about giving, and it makes them about receiving. It takes things that are supposed to be about being authentic and makes them inauthentic and phony. And every time we put that mask on, it gets harder and harder to take it off. It gets stuck. And we can even forget after a while what's under that mask. It's a tragedy because Jesus loves what's under that mask. And every time we put it on, we hide our true selves and say, it's not good enough. It hurts community because we say, I don't trust you enough, I don't love you enough, I don't feel safe enough to take this mask off around you people. I need it on. So we control our image, we look for affirmation, we brag in a covert way, we play a trumpet. And it says, look at me, look how good I am. When inside, all there is hurt and shame. Those masks need to come off. You know what the solution is? Jesus tells us here it's secrecy. And I know secrecy is a difficult topic in the church, but not just the church, in families and friendships and communities. Here's where it often gets complex. We often keep secret the things we should talk about. And we often talk about and display the things that should be kept secret. We will keep secret about awkward things that are hurting people, usually to protect ourselves. And we will stay silent when we should speak because we fear the consequences and would rather let the other person live in pain than risk personal pain. We talk about things that should be best kept secret, words that hurt others, but make us look like we have all the power. We do things publicly that are best done secretly, or at least humbly, and not motivated to notice, to be noticed, like praying and giving and fasting. But like so many other things Jesus did, he calls us to a reversal, to a turning around, to going in a different direction, to a repentance. So the things that we previously kept secret need to be exposed. And the things that previously we were public about need to be secret. And it's the way to wholeness and health and freedom from what other people think about you, so that you may be motivated by love and goodness and God's kingdom. And it's freedom. That's what we're talking about. So Jesus says this, when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Be so secret about it, so careful, so hidden that one hand doesn't even know what the other is doing. Ever tried that? I tried this morning. It was pretty hard. I tried moving my right hand without my left hand knowing. I just couldn't do it. I thought maybe I could try like with this, when the offering plate comes around, like kind of like this, or maybe I could shut my eyes or do it really quick, but nothing I did would make it so it would happen. I always knew. It's a bit frustrating. It's like telling us, move so quickly that your shadow gets left behind. Move so fast that it takes your shadow a few minutes to catch up. We all know it's impossible, but we also know that that is really, really fast. We all know that the way we are wired, we can actually move our bodies. We can't move our bodies like that. It just won't work. We're not wired that way. But we also know that it is really, really secret if our right hand doesn't know what our left hand is doing. It's really secret. I like this. It's born identity giving. You know the Born Identity, right? I haven't watched it, but I just heard it was this good movie about spies. Okay, I have watched it. Mask off. Loved it. It's clandestine giving. I like the idea of clandestine giving. I could get into that. I could, like, dressing up all in black and sneaking around, crawling, and wearing disguise, and maybe when the plate is passed, I'll sneak the money in so no one sees me. Or I'll use an Inspector Gadget arm. That way my left one won't know. Something like that. All of us, to some degree, have an approval addiction. So Jesus calls us here to minister in ways that don't get noticed. If you are used to upfront ministry, if you're a person that ministers upfront in front of people all the time, and you're used to people seeing you, try something new where you don't get noticed, something secret, something humble. Sneak around quietly and look for dishes to wash. How's that? In a clandestine manner, look for litter that's been left laying around and quickly, covertly, pick it up. Don't let anyone see you doing it. Be like a spy picking up secret information. That's how you break that addiction. And you people who only do these humble things, who only do private things and won't do upfront things, I'm not going to let you off the line either. I'm sorry. Secrecy might look different for you. Secrecy might look like being exposed, being public, letting people see who you are. Because those who minister in quiet and secret might well struggle with the same thing, approval addiction, and won't do something public, not because they don't want approval, but because they don't want to fail and don't want to be exposed. So, let's make what was previously secret that should be public, public. Take the mask off. Go into those places that remain hidden in the dark for too long. Go into those places. Let's make what was previously public be done with secrecy and suspicion. Let's let our piety, our religious behavior, be secret, clandestine piety. Pray in the closet. Give in secret. Don't tell people you're fasting. Exactly what Jesus had in mind when he was talking about reward, we can only guess. Surely part of it must have been hearing proper affirmation. Well done, good and faithful servant. This is the way to wholeness, freedom, true self-esteem, true self-worth. When we are free from approval addiction, we are free to be all that Jesus calls us to be. I also know this. Approval in itself isn't bad. It's what the approval is for and who it's from. All of us need approval, but the Christian life is a journey in which more and more we discover that for us to be whole, healthy, true, secure, flourishing disciples, human beings, we need to know where we really get approval from and what approval matters.